Hello, this is Miss Dell with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Monday, March 30th, 2026. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined Final Four Baby, NCAA Men's Basketball. It's not really an article, it's a large picture of the celebration. Illinois players dump confetti on head coach Brad Underwood after defeating Iowa 71-59 to advance to the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament Final Four at the Toyota Center in Houston on Saturday, March 28, 2026. Illinois head coach Brad Underwood lifts the South Regional Championship Trophy after defeating Iowa to advance to the Men's Basketball Tournament Final Four. Next on the front page, politics. Springfield's No Kings protest attracts over 1,000. Springfield. A crowd of more than 1,000 gathered outside the Illinois State Capitol on Saturday to attend the nationwide No Kings demonstrations protesting the Trump administration. As the demonstration began with a rendition of the national anthem, dozens waved a variety of colors from pocket-sized American flags to political banners. One man, dressed in a Revolution-era uniform, held a large Betsy Ross flag that blew in the wind. The gathering featured speeches, musical artists, and crowd chants, ending in a march down Capitol Avenue. Saturday's was the third in a series of protests that began in June 2025 as a counter-protest to President Donald Trump's D.C. birthday parade. The movement grew quickly, attracting millions in the series of nonviolent community-based protests. This was the biggest No Kings protest in Springfield thus far, no one attendee said. Saturday's was the third in a series of protests that began in June 2025 as a counter-protest to President Donald Trump's D.C. birthday parade. The movement grew quickly, attracting millions in the series of nonviolent community-based protests. This was the biggest No Kings protest in Springfield thus far, one attendee said. It was the first time local law enforcement blocked off the street, and with donations, organizers were able to rent food trucks and purchase bandanas for the family-friendly event. Springfield's protest was organized by 5051 Springfield, Illinois, Land of Lincoln, Democratic Socialists, and Capital City, Illinois, Indivisible. The organizers encouraged attendees to get involved in their local communities and at the State House to keep the protest momentum going. Tricia Copeland and Kathy Slater, two attendees, said they came to show people they were not alone, echoing the sentiments of organizers who called for support of the disenfranchised and discriminated. We need to show our solidarity and the fact that we do not agree with what's going on, Copeland said. We need to do something where we are and the way we can to make a difference. In the growing crowd on Second Street, several stopped to take pictures of a woman wearing a cardboard cutout of a bell that read, "No King, it's a USA thing." A terrier trotting along wore a sign that said, "Bad Doge." A toddler blew bubbles and collected candy from people sitting along the curb who waved American Civil Liberties Union signs and chanted with organizers. Some said it was their first time at a No Kings event, while others had been to all three. Many said they live in or close to Springfield, but others traveled from different areas in the state. Amber Odell, a Decatur resident, said she came to Springfield because the event was bigger than the one outside the Decatur Civic Center held at that same time Saturday. "I'm here to protect my neighbors. I'm here to protect our country," Odell said. "I've never been so moved by the Star-Spangled Banner in my life as I am these days. I appreciate my country more because of what we're going through." Casey Dawson, a Springfield resident, said she'd been to each protest with her two friends. The three stayed up the night before making their signs, and her husband 3D printed earrings for them that said "No Kings" over a yellow crown. More than 3,000 protests were scheduled across all 50 states and internationally on March 28th, mirroring the October 18th protests that saw more than 7 million attendees in the nation. Illinois alone had over 100 planned from Chicago down to Carbondale. I think it's important that we just keep showing up. We keep showing up, standing up for what we believe in, Dawson said. I feel like there's a sense of unity when you come to these protests, that you feel you know you're not alone, and you're all standing for the same reason. Plus, it's fun. Our next article, Pakistan to host Iran U.S. Details, commitments unclear. Tehran warns U.S. on ground troops. Mideast war, Islamabad, Pakistan. Pakistan announced Sunday that it will soon host talks between the U.S. and Iran. Though there was no immediate word from Washington or Tehran, and it was unclear whether the talks would be direct or indirect. Pakistan is very happy that both Iran and the U.S. have expressed their confidence in Pakistan to facilitate the talks. Pakistan will be honored to host and facilitate meaningful talks between the two sides in the coming days, Foreign Minister Ishak Dar said in a televised speech after top diplomats from Turkey, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia met in Islamabad. They were expected to meet again Monday to discuss ending the month-long war. Pakistan's foreign ministry did not answer questions about the announcement. Pakistan has emerged as a mediator, having relatively good ties with both Washington and Tehran. Pakistani officials have said their public effort follows weeks of quiet diplomacy while providing few details. Meanwhile, Iran's parliament speaker Mohammad Bagher Kalbaf dismissed the talks in Pakistan as a cover after some 2,500 U.S. Marines trained in amphibious landings arrived in the Middle East. He said Iranian forces were waiting for the arrival of American troops on the ground to set them on fire and punish their regional partners forever, according to state media. In Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the military will widen its invasion of Lebanon, expanding the existing security strip in that country's south while targeting the Iranian-backed Hezbollah militant group. No details were released. The war has threatened global supplies of oil, natural gas, and fertilizer, and disrupted air travel. Iran's grip on the strategic Strait of Hormuz has shaken markets and prices, and now the Iranian-backed Houthi rebels. Entry into the war could threaten shipping on another crucial waterway, the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, to the Red Sea. We don't know what moment our homes could be targeted, said Razik Saghir al-Muswani, 71, describing relentless airstrikes as Iranians crossing into Iraq, urged the United States to end the war. I'm definitely afraid. Witnesses reported more strikes in Tehran on Sunday night. More than 3,000 people have been killed in the war that began with U.S. and Israeli strikes on Iran that triggered Iranian attacks on Israel and neighboring Gulf Arab states. The war continues on the digital front as well. Pakistan said the foreign ministers met without U.S. or Israeli participation days after the U.S. offered Iran a 15-point action list as a framework for a possible peace deal. Egypt's Badr Abdeladi said the meetings are aimed at opening a direct dialogue between the U.S. and Iran, which have largely communicated through mediators. Both this war and last year's 12-day war began during rounds of indirect talks. Iranian officials have rejected the U.S. framework and publicly dismissed the idea of negotiating under pressure. But Press TV, the English-language arm of Iran's state broadcaster reported last week that Tehran has drafted its own five-point proposal that reportedly called for a halt to killing Iranian officials, guarantees against future attacks, reparations, and Iran's exercise of sovereignty over the Strait of Hormuz. Iran has erased some restrictions on commercial ships in the strait, agreeing late Saturday to allow 20 more Pakistani-flagged vessels to pass through. It sends a clear signal that Iran remains open for business with the world, provided the United States abandons coercion, said Asif Durrani, Pakistan's former ambassador to Iran. An advisor to the United Arab Emirates, Anwar Gargash, called for any settlement to the war to include clear guarantees that Iranian attacks on neighbors will not be repeated. He said Iran's government has become the main threat to Persian Gulf security and called for compensation for attacks on civilian infrastructure. Iran warned of escalation after Israeli airstrikes hit several universities, including ones that Israel claimed were used for nuclear research and development. Concerns over Iran's nuclear program are at the heart of tensions. The Parliamentary Revolutionary Guard said Iran would consider Israeli universities and branches of U.S. universities in the region legitimate targets unless offered safety assurances for Iranian universities, state media reported. If the U.S. government wants its universities in the region spared, it should condemn the bombardment of Iranian universities by midday Monday, the guard said. U.S. colleagues have campuses in Qatar and the UAE, including Georgetown, New York, and Northwestern universities. The American University of Beirut moved classes online and called it a precautionary measure. Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Emmanuel Bakari said Saturday that dozens of universities and research centers have been hit, among them the Iran University of Science and Technology and Isfahan University of Technology. Both sides of the war have threatened to attack civilian facilities, which critics have warned could be a war crime. In Lebanon, officials said more than 1,200 people have been killed. There were fears of more deaths after Netanyahu, speaking on a visit to northern Israel, said Israel was determined to fundamentally change the situation in the north. He said Hezbollah still has residual capability to fire rockets at us. Iranian authorities say more than 1,900 people were killed in the Islamic Republic, while 19 were reported dead in Israel. In Iraq, where Iranian-supported militia groups have entered the conflict, 80 members of the security forces died. In the Gulf states, 20 people were killed. 4 were killed in the occupied West Bank. Continuing on with the rest of the newspaper, our next article, Dems Turn to Tax Cuts to Tackle Affordability. With voters' concerns about affordability showing no signs of fading, some Democrats are rediscovering a traditionally Republican tactic for putting money back in people's pockets, cutting taxes. Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland proposes effectively ending the federal income tax on individuals making $46,000 or less annually and reducing it for individuals making up to about $60,000, more than that amount. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker wants to ensure households pay no income tax on the first $75,000 of earnings. It's an early sign that Democrats are trying to revamp their reputation by taking a page from the playbook of President Donald Trump, who stormed back to the White House with a soundbite-friendly promises for things like no tax on tips and no tax on overtime. But the plans could also undermine Democrats' other goals, taking large pots of money off the table that could cover the cost of reversing Trump's tax cuts for the wealthy or restoring funding to Medicaid. They will also limit funding for new initiatives that Democrats invariably promise on the campaign trail. Booker rejected comparisons to Trump, saying he was responding to voters who want somebody to start fighting for them in a way that is bigger, bolder, and more ambitious. Tax cuts proposals are popping up in state races too. Former Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms said she would exempt public school teachers from state income taxes as she runs for Georgia governor. Representative Katie Porter, who is running for California governor, says families that make under $100,000 shouldn't pay state income tax. She said Democrats have long taken too complicated approach to policy making. She pointed to President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, which included one credit for those making less than 150% of the median income in their area. I don't even know what 150% of the median income is in my area, Porter said. I like this proposal more than a complex web of reductions because it's more straightforward, Porter said. This is a conversation that I think Democrats should have been owning for the last decade. In the 2024 presidential election, the issue was largely owned by Trump. His ideas were panned by tax experts as inefficient and wasteful, but they resonated with voters. Van Hollen recalled hairdressers at his local barbershop excitedly discussing their savings under Trump's No Tax on Tips, which became part of last year's Republican budget bill, which included sweeping tax cuts that mainly benefited the wealthy and deep cuts in Medicaid. What our bill does is make sure all those people benefit, Van Hollen said. Even with their latest tax reduction proposals, Democrats are still sticking with their long-standing call for higher levies on the ultra-wealthy. Van Hollen would slap a surtax on every dollar of income over $1 million, which would pay for the tax cuts for lower incomes. Booker would raise the corporate rate nationally, and Porter would do the same in California. Booker's proposal, however, would still run a sizable deficit of about $7 trillion, according to the Yale Budget Lab, though Booker said the study undercounts the money he could save by ending tax avoidance schemes by the wealthy. Tax cuts aimed at one group down the income ladder frequently trickle up. That has been the core of the Democratic critique of Republican tax cuts, which usually save small amounts of money for working-class people and larger sums for the more affluent because they already pay more money in taxes. For example, Booker would increase the standard deduction from $31,500 for married couples to $75,000, which would eliminate taxes for working-class families but yield its biggest benefit for those higher on the income scale. The Yale Budget Lab found Booker's proposal would lead to those making up to the 80th percentile in income, roughly $106,000 annually for an individual, saving 5.3% of their taxes, a slightly higher share than those in the 20th to 40th percentile of income. Everyone up to the top 1% would save some money. Van Hollen cuts would taper as they climb the income scale, but the Yale Budget Lab found even they would only reduce taxable income of the top 20% by about 2%, with the biggest hit and about 12% drop coming to the top 1%. Because lower income and some middle income Americans pay so little in taxes already, the savings to the higher end of middle class, all the way up to those who earn in the high six figures under Booker's proposal, would be larger, analysts say. The breaks that middle income people are getting out of these proposals is not impressive, said Vanessa Williamson of the Tax Policy Center. The Democrats' choice to target the ultra-rich while largely excluding the upper middle class comes as the party's demographics have become more affluent, with increased support among educated urbanites who are not billionaires but out-earn most Americans. The Democratic approach is different than anything in the past in that it is trying to splice away the very wealthiest from people who are also wealthy, said Alan Cole, an economist at the Conservative Tax Foundation of Washington, D.C. Democratic priorities mirror what their coalition looks like. Democratic politicians, however, are enthusiastic. Van Hollen's legislation picked up 19 co-sponsors from fellow Democratic senators, as well as the two independents who caucus with the party. It's also been embraced by prominent labor organizations, including the AFL-CIO, whose president Liz Schuler contrasted the legislation with prior Democratic efforts to help workers. We need ideas that are as clear and simple as the demands workers have given us, Schuler said at a press conference earlier this month introducing the bill. That's how we restore faith, give people real relief. Next in local news, dispute over parking space ends with gun threat, cops say. Decatur. Police are looking for a suspect who pulled a gun and threatened another driver during an argument over a parking space outside a Decatur apartment complex. Sergeant Adam Seifman with the Decatur Police Department said trouble flared just before 10 p.m. Thursday in the 1700 block of South County Club, Country Club Road. Two men in one car got into a heated confrontation with a man and a woman in another vehicle, and Seifman said it was the man accompanying the woman who turned out to be armed. It started as a verbal altercation between the victims and the male suspect, Seifman added. The male suspect continued shouting and started rummaging through another car while the female went inside the apartment building. And that's when the male suspect produced a handgun and pointed it at one of the victims, a 22-year-old male. Seifman said the confrontation didn't end there, however. As the victims were walking away, the suspect followed while cocking the gun over and over again, he added. And when one of the victims reached the door of his apartment, he said, the suspect said something like, knowing where he lives now, or something like that. Speaking Sunday, Seifman said investigations were continuing and the gunman is being sought on preliminary charges of aggravated assault with a firearm. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the Office of the State's Attorney. Next, stolen vehicle leads to charges. Decatur. A Decatur man, quoted as telling police he took someone else's car for a joyride, is now parked in the Macon County Jail after a judge ruled he possesses too great a danger to the public to be allowed pretrial release. Robert K. Pickle, 42, appeared in Macon County Circuit Court March 25th and denied charges accusing him of theft of property worth more than $10,000 and aiding and abetting the possession of a stolen vehicle. A sworn affidavit filed by the Macon County Sheriff's Office said he had been arrested March 6th after being wanted in connection with the theft of a male victim's car outside his home in the 300 block of Wickles Road on February 9th. The driver told police he had left his car with the engine running to warm up just before 6 a.m. and had got outside a short time later to find the vehicle was gone. His surveillance camera showed a man later identified as Pickle walking up to his home and calling out for someone called Jenny before disappearing in the vehicle. It was later found abandoned outside an empty building on Dipper Lane, and surveillance footage showed Pickle getting out of it. Later the same day, and back on Wickles Road, deputies found a pickup truck stuck on top of a tree stump with registration papers inside that linked it to Pickle. This truck was located about two houses to the north of where the man's car was taken. Detective Drake Lambin said Pickle admitted stealing the victim's car when questioned. Pickle stated that he was using methamphetamine and thought his girlfriend Jenny was inside the residence of the car owner. Lambin added, Pickle said the keys were inside the vehicle and it was running. He stated he took the vehicle for a joyride and then returned back to his residence. Lambin noted Pickle has 20 previous convictions for offenses ranging from burglary to assault and possessing dangerous drugs. Court records show his other pending charges include aggravated driving under the influence for the fourth time, driving while revoked, and fleeing peace officers. Pickle is due back in court for a pretrial hearing April 10th. Next, average Wall Street bonus hits new record. The average Wall Street bonus rose to a record $246,900 in 2025 amid a surge in profits, New York State's comptroller reported. The average bonus rose 6%, or almost $15,000, from the previous year. Wall Street's bonus pool reached a record $49.2 billion in 2025, up 9%, according to Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli's annual estimate of bonuses paid to securities industry employees who work in New York City. DiNapoli, a Democrat, said the increases reflect a rise of more than 30% in Wall Street's profits last year to $65.1 billion. Wall Street saw strong performance for much of last year despite all of the ongoing domestic and international upheavals, DiNapoli said in a prepared release. While there were several historic drops on Wall Street over worries about everything from President Donald Trump's tariffs to interest rates to a possible bubble in artificial intelligence technology, it was a good year for anyone with a stomach to stick through the swings. S&P 500 index funds, which sit at the heart of many savers' 401k accounts, returned nearly 18% in 2025 and set a record high on December 24th. It was their third straight year of big returns. Chris Connors, a managing director at the compensation consulting firm Johnson Associates, said the bonus estimates were no surprise given the trends on Wall Street. I think 2025 was a great year, probably the best year since 2021 for more firms on Wall Street trading. In particular, had an exceptional year, Connors said. Connors noted that bonuses make up a significant portion of pay for many professionals in the financial services industry, which relies heavily on incentives. Wall Street is a major driver of New York City's economy and the major source of tax revenue for both the city and the state, DiNapoli estimated. The 2025 bonuses should generate $199 million more in state income tax revenue and $91 million more for the city when compared with the previous year. However, we are seeing slower job growth, and geopolitical conflicts have global repercussions that pose extraordinary risks for the short and long-term outlook on the financial sector and for broader economic markets. And now digest. Britain. Police in the English city of Derby arrested a man on suspicion of attempted murder after the car struck a number of pedestrians in the busy city center, sending seven people to hospitals. Counterterrorism officers were assisting local police in the investigation. Arab League. Arab foreign ministers on Sunday appointed veteran Egyptian diplomat Nabil Fahmy as the head of the 22-member Arab League at the time the Middle East is plunged into a month-long Iran war that shows no signs of abating. Fahmy's five-year term will start in July. Germany. Hundreds of partygoers fled a dance club in southwestern Germany when a fire broke out in the early hours of Sunday. None of the 750 guests was injured in the incident in Kiel, a town near the French border, emergency services said. Mongolia. Mongolia's ruling party selected a new candidate for prime minister Sunday after the last head of government, Zandashtar Gamgadzhav, resigned after only 9 months on the job. Niam Osher was nominated at the meeting of the Mongolian People's Party, according to state news agency Monstame. Ukraine war. A Russian strike on the eastern Ukrainian city of Kramatorsk killed three people and injured 13 Sunday, police said, one of the several attacks in the frontline area. We will take a short break now and return with the second half of the Decatur Herald in Review for March 30th, 2026. Please stay tuned.